Atlanta playwright and author Pearl Clegg is the Alliance's playwright in residence. And for each of the past 5 years, she has helped 20 Metro Atlanta teens write and perform a play in 3 weeks. It's called The Collision Project. I spoke with her last week, right in the middle of this year's program. Pearl Clegg began by giving me a crash course in collision.
It's a wonderful program that Susan Booth actually began when she first came to the Alliance because she was looking for a way to involve teenagers in the life of the theater in a way that let them really have ownership for the work that they were going to do. So that what we do is pick a classic text, and it doesn't have to be a play. It can be a play. It can be a movie. We've done speeches. We did the Declaration of Independence. So we start with a classic text of some sort, and we experience it all together on the first day. We either watch the film, read the play. And then we kind of talk about the ideas in that piece and then move from there to talking about their reaction to those ideas. And then we spend 2 weeks with them every day from 9 to 5. We do all kinds of interaction with other artists, and they have a writing assignment every day. They have to write something. At the end of those 2 weeks, I take everything they've written, spend a very long weekend, 4th of July weekend, and put the show together. I don't write anything. I just put the show together from what they've written. And then we give them the script on that Monday, and they rehearse for a week and present the show on Friday.
To say this is intensive does not begin to capture it.
It's very intensive, but it's the most wonderful. This is the second day of our second week, and I just came from the theater, and we spent this morning, they did an African dance workshop with Mama Yeye. And to watch these young people, some of whom have no dance experience at all, some of them have had dance experience but not African dance, but to watch them all invest totally in what they're being asked to do, it's just so energizing, and it gives me such a feeling of hope for this next generation, for their ability to build community in a week. They seem like they've known each other forever. They are optimistic. They are energized. They are deeply honest in a way where sometimes, you know, Patrick and I, Patrick, our director, at the end of the day, we're like, wow, we didn't realize that we were going to open up this particular conversation with something that we might have thought would go a completely different way. But there, we try very hard to create a judgment-free zone for them so they can really tell us what they think about the world, and they do.
What determines which students you select?
We interview all of them. It's a free program. They have no cost associated at all. And starting last year and hopefully continuing forever, we also can give them a stipend at the end of this 3 weeks, which
really?
Is very important because some of them are trying to earn money for college, trying to earn money for their schooling. And we never were able to give them a stipend. And we were able to generate some wonderful contributions that allowed us to give them a stipend last year, and we'll be doing it this year as well. But they can sign up and say they're interested, and then they all come in and they're interviewed. Patrick and I talk to every single one who applies, and we are looking for diversity in terms of where they go to school. We don't want six from one school and one from another, so that you build in that kind of high school clique thing. We don't have any of that because most of these young people don't even know each other when they arrive on the first day. But we talk to them to try to determine if they're mature enough for an experience like this. Can they work with other people? Can they do the writing that's required? And are they open to a brand new experience where they're going to be asked to do a lot of different things? And then we talk to, if we've got 60 or 70 applicants, we interview each one individually so that they can kind of talk to us about their plans. We can talk to them about the program, and then we have to pick 20. That's the hardest part. We have to pick 20. So many of my friends who are artists become cynical. You know, the world is never going to change. Everything is terrible. And I don't believe that at all. And sometimes I'm exhausted arguing with people about how wonderful everything can be. And when I'm around these 20 young people for 3 weeks, it gives me all the energy and evidence I need for another year of arguing with my more cynical friends to say, it's really getting better. Trust me, it's really getting better.
This year's selection is
Inherit the Wind.
Inherit the Wind. What made you choose that work?
We wanted to talk about tolerance. We wanted to talk about what happens to a community when there is such a group of people who are intolerant toward new ideas. The play is about actually the Scopes trial, about the evolution and people saying, you know, oh, that's terrible. You're teaching, you know, evolution, and Darwin is, you know, the representative of Satan and all kinds of things like that. So that we really wanted to use that play as a jumping off point to talk to them about the kind of intolerance that they see around them and what effect it has, not only on them, but on the community around them.
Your Honor, I request permission to withdraw from this case.
Mr. Drummond, you can't quit now.
Why not? You were ready due 5 minutes ago.
Colonel Drummond, what reasons can you possibly have?
Well, there are 200 of them. And if that's not enough, there's one more. I think my client has already been found guilty.
And it's sometimes, you know, you pick a piece and it's a wonderful piece, but it isn't necessarily something that is able to connect them to what's going on at this very moment. But we're talking about tolerance this year, and we began last week right after the tragedy of the murders in Charleston. So that was a moment of reflection, certainly, and deep sorrow for us to try to talk about that and what that means. And then we ended up the week with the decision from the Supreme Court on marriage equality, so that they had really an example of wonderful tolerance for the future and an example of the terrible things that can happen when people do not have tolerance and understanding and don't understand how to live in community where there's difference, but there can also be respect. So that this time it was really wonderful to watch them not only grappling with what the play puts forward, but to be so involved with what they're seeing in the newspapers every day. Why are people so angry about this? Why are people taking this to mean this? All of those things that they need and want to ask and don't always have a place to do that. So we have very lively discussions, and we, you know, whenever we make the mistake of thinking we know what they will say about this or that, or that they all will agree about this or that, we're always surprised at the variety of opinions that they have about things, about those who are completely in sync with what their parents think, those who are not in sync with what their parents think and how they deal with that. But I think the most wonderful thing that we do for them is to give them a place to actually express themselves and know that not only do we want to hear what they have to say, but that's what's going to be their show. It's not like I take everything and then I rewrite what they've done. This is their writing, their words that we put together. And it's always funny to me because when they get it back, they don't see their writing after they hand it to me every day. They don't see it again until the script is done. And invariably someone will say to me, did I really write that? Because they can't remember what they wrote and they haven't seen it in the context of what the others have written. So that I always save their handwritten sheets to show them and say, this is exactly what you wrote. This is your handwriting, right? This is your name, right? Because I think they are surprised at how profoundly they are encountering these ideas, but their lives move so fast that they don't always even have a chance to look at themselves and say, you know, I'm growing, I'm understanding more, I'm questioning at a deeper level. So if we can give them that feeling of the right to have your own ideas and the power of those ideas expressed in community, then I feel like we send out 20 engaged new citizens every year, which is, you know, a little group of people, but every 20 makes 20 more, and that makes 20 more.
I'm also struck by recurring themes over the years. This is your fifth year,
yes.
Correct? You looked at the Declaration of Independence. The
Emancipation Proclamation.
Emancipation Proclamation. And The Grapes of Wrath.
The Grapes of Wrath. It's a Wonderful Life, the film. It's a Wonderful Life. So we've kind of been all over, and it always comes back to, what kind of person do I want to be? What kind of citizen do I want to be? What does it mean to be 17 years old in Atlanta, Georgia, and look at the world? Because many of them are so busy looking at, am I going to get into college? Am I going to be able to have the career that I want? That we give them a space to look at all the questions that are consuming them, but in a much broader framework, to say you are a citizen not only of your high school and your city, but of this world. And what are you going to do to make it reflect what you want it to be? Because it's on you. You have to tell us. You have to figure it out, because we're sending you out to make this world better. And they, at first, they kind of look at us like, really? I'm only 17 years old. But by the end, they're like energized and ready to go.
Intrigued with the African dance and some of the other artists whom you're engaged to meet with the students. What is the connection between the dance and Inherit the Wit?
Because what all of the experiences that we try to put together for them, we've always tried to put together artists who can, first of all, get them out of their comfort zones. Where do they feel always comfortable, always sure, always know what to do? We want to knock that to the side and say, let's try something that allows you to look at a part of yourself that you may never have seen, that challenges you in ways that you might not have thought about, but also that puts them all on that even playing field, because none of them are experts in Laurie Stallings' kind of modern dance. None of them are experts in what Mama Ye Ye is doing. None of them are certain about what Doria Roberts, who's a wonderful musician who's coming tomorrow, what she's going to do. Most of them are not familiar with the work of Zarin Burnett, who's also coming tomorrow. So that we have a lot of different artists. And the thing I think that runs through all of these artists is an absolute commitment and passionate commitment to being good human beings, to challenging themselves as artists to get to that deepest part that connects us to everybody else. And what they end up with after all of these experiences is a greater understanding of how all art comes back to that same place that connects us, that comes back to that same place about what does it mean to be a fully engaged human being.
What will Zarin Burnett discuss with them?
He's actually going to be talking some about writing, but part of what we're dealing with in Inherit the Wind is a man in their teacher in that play who makes a decision of conscience. And Zarin was a conscientious objector during the war in Vietnam and had to do 2 years of alternative service. And at that point, he was 20 years old, which is only a few years older than they are. And he has a wonderful story that he's going to share with them about his first few days. He had to go work for 2 years in a state mental institution in New Jersey in the kitchen. And it was very difficult for him as a bright young college student to all of a sudden find himself in this setting because he chose not to go to war. And it's the story is really about how he made peace with that and how he learned a valuable life lesson, which is everybody's facing their own problems, their own challenges, but your job is to get up every day and make sure that you're doing the work you're supposed to do for those 8 hours and to talk to them about what it means to be a young person making a decision of conscience and being prepared to take the consequences. Most of them have never had that moment where they had to make a choice like that. And many people have never met a conscientious objector who refused to go to war. So that we're really looking forward to them being able to take what the play says about what it means to make a decision of conscience and actually talk to a real living person who made that choice and see what his understanding was of the lessons he learned there.
Eve of destruction, tax deductions,
inspectors, bill collectors, start growing the man population out of hand.
Suicide, too many bills, hippies moving to the hill. People all over the world are shouting in the war.
And the band played on.
Throughout these 5 years, I imagine you have had some amazing experiences with these kids. Any particularly outstanding memories?
I think the thing is that at the end of the 3 weeks every year, I'm so moved and so in love with the process that Rosemary Newcott did so much work to shape it and build it before I even came to work there. Patrick and I both came 5 years ago, but Rosemary had been nurturing this program for so long that I'm always at the end of the 3 weeks so in awe of the fact that it seems so simple, but it works. And then at the beginning of the program next year, Patrick and I are always in a panic. How can we possibly do this again? How can we get a show together in 3 weeks where we're giving them something and they're able to give an audience something? So we always have that one day where we are completely convinced that we'll never be able to do it again. And by the, I would say, noon of the first day, we're over that. And we're like, okay, this is a new group and they've got new ideas, but it always works. So I think the thing that always sticks with me is every single year I have to surrender to the process because I am a playwright. I'm used to coming into rehearsal with a finished script. I'm not a person who likes to work out things in the rehearsal hall. I want to write it, then I want to see it, just what I wrote. And this does not allow me to stay in that comfort zone. I have to come there with the belief that if we guide these young people correctly, they will be able to produce the writing that will make a wonderful show. And it works every time, so that I have about a half a day panic when I say, maybe I can't do that again. Maybe this will be the year when we realize. And I was laughing with Patrick this just last week because I confessed to him on the second day that I'd had that moment. And he said, I went home and had the same moment. Like, can we do this again? And then by the second day, he was good. So we always have to have that moment of surrender, which I think is a good thing for an artist, to always be conscious of doing it new, not doing the same thing every year, not saying, okay, I know this, I can take the process any way I want, but to be open to letting the young people guide us. And if we can do that, which we are determined to do every year, it always works and it always brings forward something that surprises them and really delights us.
Pearl Clegg, it is always just a joy to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You can see the culmination of this year's Plefsky Collision Project on Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 2:30.